Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll be reading from verses 1 to 6. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So first one again. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen. Amen. What a powerful EMP we had yesterday, led by Pastor Nate and Juanita. And what a convicting word as well, you know, for us to really believe in what we have, and not only just to believe in it, but also to really take our faith to a level in which we want to share the things that we have. And as I was meditating yesterday, you know, God continued to bring me to Hebrews 11. And, you know, I don't really want to make any sort of presumption as to what it's going to mean to you. Typically, whenever God gives me a word, I feel like that there's something that he's leading me towards, that he wants me to speak to the congregation. But today, I feel like as I teach, I feel like God is going to speak to us individually, you know, and corporately as to what it is faith is going to mean to you. And so if I can just start, and just to give a quick background on Hebrews, Hebrews is a book that was written to mainly Jews, and by Jews, it was really the Messianic Jews. We don't really know who the author is. You know, some scholars believe it could have been Titus, maybe Paul, possibly Peter, but really there's no real person that we know who it is. There's no name on the book, so we don't know. It's Hebrews. And the reason why it was written was because many of the Jews that believed in Christ really fell back into their Jewish ways. And so if I was to expound on that a little bit, we know that Judaism really came from the beliefs of the Israelites. And so what it was that God, because Christ has not come yet, God had given them the commandments and a set of rules to live by, so that they could remain righteous, so that they could be God's people. And so what came out of it, if we remember when P. Sam went through Numbers with us, right, there were so many different things that they had to do. They had to place their hands on the head of the cows, they had to slaughter the cows, they had to put them on one side and the other, let the blood in the middle, all these sort of things. And so Judaism became this beautiful divine religion in which every act that they did was a representation of something that God had talked them about or told them about so that they can become clean, so that they can be God's people. Well, over the many centuries, what Judaism really became, at least for many Jews, was simply a religion. Right, we remember, if you guys remember the message I spoke on the Sabbath, remember I was telling you, if you walk in some really Jewish communities, on the Sabbath day, you'll see the doors left open. You know, remember the example I told you, Aaron, one of our SP members, he was walking through a Jewish community, and what happened was, remember, the water was left running, and so you see water running out the front door, and remember the Jewish man asked him, hey, can you help me? And Aaron thought, you know, it was a pipe burst or something, right? He needed a plumber, and all it was that there was a stack of dishes in the sink, and they left the water running all day because, you know, in order to turn the tap off, it was work, right? And so that kind of gives us a glimpse of what Judaism really became. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, right? Their beliefs, it was an amazing thing. Their dedication to their acts of service really is something we should work towards, because they were willing to believe in it so much that they would allow their acts to inconvenience them because they believed it pleased God. But, you know, later on it became more of act of religiosity rather than belief. And so we see that Jews really have a very strong hold on the religion. Right? It's not something that is easy for them to let go of. And when I was preaching this to the youth kids and the SPU kids, you know, the example I kind of drew to them was, you know, we're taught all our lives that we have to work to get good grades, right? And so in order to get into a good university, we have to have good, you know, A pluses, A's, all these sort of things. And so Christ being a gift would be the same thing as me telling the SPU students or the youth students, you don't need to work. You don't need A's. All you need to do is believe, and you will get into Harvard. And all of them kind of giggled at me, and they're like, you're crazy, right? It's not possible. We know it's not possible, right? We need to have the grades. We need to have the works to get in. We need to have the understanding. And so this is exactly the same thing that the Jews are going through. They met Christ. Many of these were, you know, because he's writing to Messianic Jews. It's not necessarily a church in particular. One of the churches he was writing, the author was writing to, was the Church of Rome, right? And the Church of Rome were the Messianic Jews that experienced the Pentecost, experienced Jesus. And so they knew Christ. They've seen the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. They knew he's alive. But yet because the hold of religiosity and works was so strong on them, that they kept falling back into works. And so what the author, you know, of Hebrews really was teaching them was the superiority of Christ. That in Christ, in the belief of Christ, works is no longer necessary. Or rather, I should say, it's not works that gets us into heaven. It is simply faith. And so that's why he's teaching this. So by the time we get to chapter 11, so the first 10 chapters he's talking about, you know, it is faith that saves. It is faith in Christ. It is Christ, the Son of God. And so by the time he gets to chapter 11, what he's teaching them now is how to live. Basically 11, 12, 13, he's teaching them how to live. Now 11 is famously known for the Hall of Faith. We have the Hall of Fame, they have the Hall of Faith, right? And in this chapter, what the writer is basically trying to do is, you know what, this is basically the best marketing campaign. If you want to learn how to market something to someone, this is amazing. You know what he was basically doing? He was taking the superheroes of the Jews and telling them and selling them that everything that they did really was faith, right? So basically what he's saying is this, Abraham, you know, although he did a great work, he left his country, he did it because of faith. Right? To me, it basically someone telling me, you want to be a great basketball player? Drink Gatorade, because that's what Michael Jordan did. Right? You want to be an amazing F1 driver? Drink Red Bull, because that's what Sebastian Vettel did. I feel like all my examples are a bit too male-centric. Let me try a more female-centric one. You want to be... You want to be beautiful? Buy Chanel. Does that work? That's what Paris Hilton does. No. You don't want to be like Paris Hilton. Who's somebody that you want to be? Michelle Obama. Okay, she is, you know, elegant. She is first lady. You want to be like Michelle Obama? Dance on Ellen. No? Okay. I can't think of one, okay? But when I do, I promise. So basically, but the point is, he's basically trying to take the people that these guys really believe in, that they really think that, you know, they have it together, and he's using them to make the case that whatever they did really was Christ-centered, really was faith-centered. And so the author is saying, look, you need to have faith in Christ. Well, what does it mean to have faith in Christ? Well, thankfully, he also really puts it out for us. And, you know, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Now, if we were to take a look at the Greek, the word hope for, really, in it, the word is, you know, I have it on my phone, I don't want to look it up. But basically, it's the same word used in a few different places. And what it's used for, it's spoken to those who believe in God. And what it basically means is the assurance and faith really is in Christ. The convictions of things not seen, and the word conviction, the noun actually is evidence. And so what you're believing in is the evidence of Christ that you do not see. You're believing, there's a faith of it. And so the author really is trying to make a conclusion between faith in Christ equals acts of faithfulness, which we see in the greatness in the good in the men of God before them. But the interesting thing is, in Greek, the word faith and faithfulness is the same word of pistis. And so really, the author never uses the word faithfulness. The amazing thing is, they believe that if you had faith, if you believed in Christ, you would simply be faithful. There is no idea of, you know, I believe in God, yes, but my actions don't really reflect that. Like, that doesn't work in their language. That doesn't work in their understanding of culture. Is if you believed in something, your life would automatically be partial to that now. You, everything that you did is now to be faithful. Pistis, if you had faith, you would be faithful. And so for me, I didn't really want to come up here and kind of give all these examples of what it means. I don't want to be like, you know, if you had faith and you were to be faithful in your workplace and all these sort of things. You know, I feel like that's something that God's going to speak to us, you know, as we pray. But something in light of yesterday, right, of, you know, Pastor Nate's message and what we're really seeing with the retreat, something I really feel like this the Spirit really leading me to is, how can we be faithful as we lead up to this retreat? And the reason I say this is because in my heart, I'm actually quite excited for this retreat, in that, you know, there's really nothing that I'm looking for an answer for. Right? I mean, since I've been in SP, you know, I've shared this to you guys a few times, is I'm not really looking for anything right now. I'm not saying that I don't believe that God's going to do something great or whatnot. I'm simply trying to be faithful in what I do here, as in, I'm going to do a good job, right? I'm going to do what God has asked me to do. I'm going to be faithful with what He's given to me, right, in this place. But why I'm excited is not so much because I want to receive a word or I want to receive direction. I'm excited simply because I know that in my excitement and in my desire for this retreat and in my prayer for this retreat, I'm going to meet God. That's it. Right? I know that if I go to this retreat and I continue to pray and have an expectation that God is going to show up, He's going to show up for me. Right? God is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And so for me, as I look forward to this retreat, how can I remain faithful? Is I'm going to pray for this retreat. I'm going to seek God for this retreat. I'm going to ask Him, is there something that He wants me to say? Maybe a prophetic message for this retreat? How can I be a blessing to those around me to this retreat? How can I go to this retreat as a participant rather than somebody who's going to go to receive? Because I know if I go, I'm going to receive, right? God is going to do it. He's going to give something to us. But how can we be a participant in going to this retreat? You know, a lot of things that sometimes we, you know, P. Sam, P. Nate mentioned it yesterday too, right? A lot of times we can go to the retreat and be kind of mundane about it, right? And kind of be bored about it. Can I make a suggestion to you? Do you know why you're bored? It's because you're self-centered in your idea of retreat. Or because we are, I don't want, you know, because we are self-centered in our idea of retreat. We are bored because we're self-centered. We are bored because we go to this retreat expecting God to speak to us about our life, about what He will do in us. When really, we should be expectant of what God is going to speak to us about what He's going to do in the body, what He's going to do through the body, what He's going to do through us. Not just because, God, I'm going to come to this retreat, Lord, bless me with Your word. And then when He doesn't do it or He doesn't come the way we expected, we're like, oh, well, that retreat really wasn't that good. The speaker really didn't give me an answer for what I was looking for in my life. That's when we feel bored, when we are self-centered. But when we are participants of a retreat, when we're able to go to bless others, that's when we realize that we'll never feel bored. Why? Because when we go to this retreat looking to pray for others, to receive on behalf of others, to ensure that this retreat is not just about us, but to make sure that whatever God is doing amidst us, we can be a part of, we will never be bored. Why? Because our attitude is now to look at the retreat in such a way that, God, how can I serve You in this retreat? I don't think I've ever seen any servant be bored. Are our helpers at home ever bored? No, because we give them so much to do, right? Are our staff bored? You know, I look at Bonnie and Monica, right? These guys, they are like slaving day in and day out to make sure this retreat is going to go well. And trust me, they're going to receive from this retreat. Not because, you know, God's going to bless them. Yes, he is, because of their work. But because they're going expecting that God is going to do something. That is why they're working so hard. You want to expect God? You want God to speak to you this retreat? Be faithful in the things that God has given to you. Has he given you an ability to pray? Pray for the retreat. Has he given you an ability to prophesy? Prophesy to others. Has he given you an expectation for God to come? Expect him to come and look forward to serving your church. So I really don't want to take too long today, because I mean, God did an amazing thing yesterday, and really I really want to spend time praying for today and for the retreat. So I'm going to ask Jeff to come up. And so let's close our eyes. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Our acts of faithfulness, our obedience and attitude are simply an outward expression of our inward belief of who God is and what he's doing in our lives. Let me say that again. Our faithfulness in our works and our expressions of faith are simply an outward expression of who we believe God is and who we believe he is in our lives. Now, James touched on this in James 2, verse 23. Just as the body is dead without the spirit, faith is dead without works. Right? The idea is not that we need to work for salvation or work for God, but works should be an outward expression of what we believe. Much like our expectations are an outward expression of what we believe. Faithfulness is an outward expression of what we believe. So if we have pistis, we can be pistis. Faith is our expression, or faithfulness is our expression of faith. And so as Jeff leads us in a song, let's really express our faith to God. Let's thank him for the retreat. Let's thank him for the work that he's going to do through this body into this body. And ask God, how can I be a participant of this retreat? Lord, how can I serve you and your purposes? And I believe God is really going to speak to us. So let's really pray. Let's really respond to God. Trouble. Apologize to you guys for a moment. Actually, when we were praying, I felt like the Lord really convicted me of something. He reminded me that the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And you know, I wasn't angry, but I recognize that sometimes my passion really overtakes what God is doing. And I really felt like God really leading us back to 1 John 4:19, which is, we love because He first loved us. And so, why don't we take a minute to pray? You know, for this retreat, pray that really God is just going to come and just really going to touch this congregation. Pray that God is really just going to come and bring His love, His desires, His voice to us. Pray that the people that are going to be there, pray that for yourself, that you're going to be able to experience God in such a powerful way that the only way of response is that you are going to love Him back. We love because He first loved us. And so let's ask God, help us, Lord, be faithful, Lord, through the love that we receive from You. Because faithfulness is only from God. So let's pray. To our community focus, let's really pray for those suffering from cancer. Let's claim a healing word of Isaiah 53, that by His stripes they are healed. And so let's really pray that God does a miraculous work in their lives. Pray for those suffering from infirmity, but also in need of salvation as well. Let's pray the word sozo of healing and salvation over them. pray for those who are suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's really lift them up and their families. Let's pray for God, not only for his healing, but for his comfort, for his understanding and his wisdom throughout this time. For those looking for work, let's really pray for God's providence in their lives. Let's pray for favor to really fall on them. Let's really pray for a protection as well over their emotions and over their needs. Let's really pray that God blesses them and will come in a mighty way for them. Mission focus. Let's really pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Let's really pray for protection over them as they continue to grow. Let's really pray for God's Spirit to really move over the church and over their body and continue to mature, especially there are many young believers. Let's really pray for Pastor Sam, Kim, and Annie as they prepare to hand things off to Pastor Hyunsu soon and pray for them as they prepare to transition. Let's pray for Jessie Keel. She's actually back. Let's pray for her as a time of refreshing for the retreat before God sends her back. Let's really pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and the churches of China. Let's really pray that God does an amazing work in that place and turns China into a God-fearing nation. Lift up the board as well. Let's pray for Pastor Sam and Lisa and the kids. Let's really pray that God will continue to bring in full and complete healing over them. Let's pray for Janie and Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, and Monica. Let's really pray for recovering over them as they continue to lead the church and make decisions for the church. Let's pray for God's wisdom and for his Spirit to really move and to guide them. Let's really pray for them. Really pray for the hospitality ministries as well. If you can, lift up the leaders, lift up Bonnie and myself. Really pray for us as we're moving in towards the third service. If you can, really just pray for the logistics and the planning and for more people to volunteer. Let's really just pray that each of them who are volunteering already, for God to really touch. It's actually quite a difficult ministry to be able to talk with people and also to give, even though sometimes they don't receive back. And so let's really pray for those who serve, that they're faithful and that they also receive God's love so that they can give on a week-to-week basis. Let's just really pray for them. Thank you. Let's lift up our men's ministry. According to our word yesterday too, let's really pray for the men of this church. And I'll really lift up Tyler as he leads. And let's really lift up the guys that help him out, like James and Byung and Jackie and Sandra. Let's really pray that the men's ministry really takes off and that God does an amazing work in that ministry, that purity will come into the men, that that they will seek to serve the Lord, that they will become righteous, faithful men of God. So let's really pray for the ministry, and for Tyler especially, and as a leader, but really for the men of this church. In the same way, let's also lift up the women's ministry. Let's really pray for Amanda Tay. Let's be thankful that, you know, we have such amazing women in this church, you know, so faithful and already serving. And so let's really pray that God continues to move through our women and continue to bring a touch of God to them as well. Let's really pray that God continues to call upon them to really serve the church. Lift up Yama and Yamama. Let's really lift up Pastor Kenny as he leads. Let's really pray for strength and direction for God to speak to him. But let's also pray for our young adults as they are really our future leaders. So let's really pray that God touches them, really galvanize their faith in Christ so that they can live a life worthy of the calling they've received. So let's really pray. For the house churches tonight, let's really pray for Causeway Bay, Elements, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit Road, Robbie West, Line Rock, and Tai Hang. Let's really pray for His Spirit to really come tonight and really speak to the house church. Let's really ask God to bring His conviction for missional lifestyle and for missions and for service. But let's just pray that they'll be able to meet with God, that they'll be able to see His face, to hear His voice, and to be able to know the Spirit. So let's really pray for them. Lift up the retreat. Let's really pray for Benjamin Robinson. Let's really pray that God really speaks and really protects him and keeps him healthy. Let's really pray for his family and his team that will be coming as well. Let's pray for all the logistics, whether it's plane rides or hotels or luggage, all these sort of things, that everything's going to work out smoothly and easily for them. Let's pray for the presence of God to really start filling the retreat area, that God already is preparing the place for us to be there and also for us to worship him. And let's really pray for unity between the churches, as we'll be having both SB Beijing and Singapore there as well. So let's really lift up this retreat. you will allow me to lead us into a time of a little different prayer. I really felt like God leading me to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. And it's not like I feel like God is bringing condemnation or anything like that. But I feel like, you know, before any sort of revival, you know, even in history, you know, the first thing that God does is to bring a spirit and to bring conviction and to bring repentance. Because repentance really is our sign of desperation and need for God. And so if you'll allow me, let's really come into a time of repentance before God. Let's really ask God to forgive us in the areas that we've really fallen short. Let's really ask God to forgive us individually, but also as a church, in the places that maybe we've been disobedient or we've been lacking or that we haven't really walked into the places that He's called us to. And as such, let's just really respond to His Spirit. And this is, you know, it's not a condemning thing, but I really feel like God wanting to do something. And so let's really pray. Let's really repent on behalf of the church and on our own hearts as well. Let's also take a minute to really pray for breakthrough for our friends. If you know anyone who's currently really struggling with something, if you know, you know, maybe they're looking for an answer for something, they're looking for a touch of God, let's really lift them up right now. Let's pray that wherever they are right now in this moment, that God is just going to meet with them. And not only with them in this moment, but in this week, and not only in this week, but coming up to this retreat, that God is going to bring such a mighty blast of His breath, of His Spirit, and of who He is. So let's really pray for our friends. So God, we come before You today, God, and we thank You, Lord. Help us, God, to really receive Your love, Lord. Help us to really receive Your Spirit, God. And so, Lord, help us to also be faithful to You. faithful to your word, faithful to your calling, faithful to the gifts that you've given to us, faithful with the blessings, God, faithful, Lord, with the gospel, faithful, Lord, with your son. And so, God, in our repentance, Lord, would you come, Lord, and really heal our land? God, will you bring breakthrough to our friends, God? Will you bring breakthrough to our lives? Will you bring breakthrough, God, to this church? Father, will you fulfill your promises in us, God, that we can be a mighty testimony, God, to who you are? And so, Father, I pray for a blessing over my friends today. I ask, God, will you speak to them today? I ask, Lord, will you touch their hearts, Lord? And may your spirit fall on them, God, in such a mighty and glorious way. May the weight of God really be over them, that they will experience you. Father, I pray for your blessing over their work. I pray for your favor, Lord, in their relationships. I pray, God, that your revelatory spirit be with them in their families, in their friends, with them wherever they go, so that, God, your blessing will flow through them, God, to those around them, so that they too will know you. So, God, will you protect them as well? Lord, we pray against any backlash, Lord, of the enemy over them. And God, I pray for your admonition, God, of go, and as you're going, to be faithful and to make disciples through their faithfulness. So God, we love you, Lord. We bless you, God. Will you come and be with your people, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray, God. Amen. Bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.